Hey y'all, do you love us? Do you want to keep listening to us for free?
Help keep the Good and Terrible Show free by including the Cold Slither Podcast Network in your online shopping routine.
Visit coldslitherpodcast.com, click the link, keep our podcast free by shopping at Amazon, and then buy all the stuff you want.
Everything you normally buy, you can purchase through our site, and Amazon will give us money so that we're able to keep the podcast free.
Help us help you.
We love you a little bit.
Just a little. A lot.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles.
Yay!
I am your host, Tim DLGG. And I'm joined tonight by the man behind the sound effects. That would be at agent_70 on Twitter.
Yeah, what's up, everybody?
And we also have Roddy Cat on Twitter here with us.
Yeah.
Nice. Don't know, people.
And not here with us, since he is attending an event for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say he was doing?
The Proud Papa. Doing something, some kind of musical.
Yeah, school musical with Disney tunes.
That's right.
That
we
is,
miss you, Dirt.
Yeah, we miss you, Dirt.
Yep.
You can follow him on Twitter at PCN_Dirt. And make sure to go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. And
When he comes back, he'll be one less tooth and the same amount of wisdom.
Ah!
And since I'm plugging, make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews and other podcasts on our website. Follow the Twitter account at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for The Click Nation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites.
Yeah.
Remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're home on a Thursday night and you're not tuning
drunk
into Scandal,
you're drunk out of your mind.
If you don't care about Scandal or Thursday Night Football, just go ahead and put us on in the background. We don't mind if you actually pay attention or not.
Ah!
Exactly.
And also,
go ahead.
I was going to say, also on iTunes and Stitcher, make sure to give us 5-star reviews, thumb us up, help us move in the rankings. And we also are a part of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network. And we are also on the Comic Related Podcasting Network.
Yeah.
Shout outs to them.
Yeah.
So make sure to go to coldslitherpodcast.com and comicrelated.com.
Comicrelated.com. How you doing?
Yeah, I started sending our podcast to them again to link us to.
That's pretty cool.
Nice. I was going to say, News There's Need, which is my Twitter site, which I think was mentioned already. I need to pimp this a little bit more. We're on Reddit.
Yay!
Which has been there for a while. I need to kind of let that be known. But, you know, go there. There will be some links to some stuff going out there. And, hey, join in. Throw some stuff in there. It might come up on a show.
Nice.
Yeah, I refuse to go on Reddit or even try to get tied into that whole thing. I don't need any more distractions.
Indeed, indeed. And welcome to all the anonymous animals that are apparently looking at the show doc, which I just tweeted the link out to.
Okay. So, let's see what's going on in the world of comic book related movie and TV news.
There's a lot, apparently.
A little bit.
DreamWorks Animation and Hasbro merger is in the works. Not sure what that means.
So basically, you know what? This was actually, this is kind of like a week old. So DreamWorks Animation, who does like How to Train Your Dragon and other such fine movies, they were going to merge with Hasbro, who owns G.I. Joe and Transformers, you know, My Little Pony, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They were going to do a joint venture where I guess, I'm looking at the thing. I guess DreamWorks will be able to make Hasbro properties into movies and or TV.
Hmm.
That seems about a short story, but I'm not sure if it actually went through or not. Oh, it says it's at least 2 months out, which granted, like I said, this was from last week, so that'll be something because Pixar and Disney kind of runs the gambit on animation stuff, seemingly. But this is kind of giving them a leg up on another side.
Okay. I'm all up for more movies. Mm-hmm. As we got here. Daniel Brühl to play a villain in Captain America: Civil War. Who's all these animals on our spreadsheet?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think those are people who have the link.
Oh.
To the chat.
The anonymous buffalo.
Yeah.
Or it's either that or the people who are looking at the it could be people looking at either the YouTube link or, you know, the thing, but I'm assuming it's people looking at the show doc.
That's hysterical.
We have more people looking at the show doc than viewers
on
the
show.
Okay.
Come on, people, tune in.
Oh, you shared the link. Okay, I see you shared it.
And
you,
yeah.
Gotcha. That is funny.
Cool. Everyone's speculating on who Daniel Brühl could be playing.
Yeah, and the next link kind of goes to, I don't know if it's supposed to be that, but Crossbones is supposed to be the main villain.
I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's rumor. So, you know, when things come out, people got to spitball stuff. But, I mean, it could very well happen. I mean, come on. Well, I guess you could say Bane was the main villain in that last crazy movie. So,
Chris Pratt says he's open to Star-Lord cameo on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I hate stories like this, by the way.
Why is that? Get your hopes up?
It's just a guy saying, yeah, sure, I'd play him.
It doesn't
mean he's going to actually be on an episode or they're even planning on using him.
Well, but think about it.
But just like that's just like Mel Gibson saying, "Yeah, I direct Iron Man 4."
Yeah, or that LL one. Yeah, the LL one talking about he might have a Marvel movie thing.
Who?
LL. This was like a couple of weeks back. He was like,
"I'm gonna be Luke Cage, huh?"
He didn't say that, but yeah, he was kind of alluding to the fact that he may or may not have a role. But there was nothing that really came out of that. So it sounded like it was kind of him just saying, putting it out there.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, but look at it this way, though. Guardians of the Galaxy is a big hit. At least with something like that, he could kind of say, hey, put it in their heads, even if they weren't already thinking about it, for that something like that to actually happen. You know, if you put it out there sometimes, it can very well happen. And then I know there's a lot of people who are kind of hinging Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on who else is there. I mean, who else shows up outside of who's there. So, you know, if it happens, hey, let it go.
Oh, I was about to say we were already referencing Disney songs. You know,
shout out to really Dirt. Unintentional. Shout out to Dirt.
That was totally unintentional.
Let's see. So Marvel released the official Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 3 timeline, which, of course, you could have put together just by seeing the release dates for the movies.
Well, I mean, this was just them doing, hey, everybody, this is what this was. Like, we already had this list, so.
Hey, all the animals are gone.
We scared them away.
I know, right?
I guess they talked about us. Let's get out of here.
I know, right? They buggered off.
Huh. It's probably a bunch of the bots that followed you.
Just yeah, it could be.
And then closed them.
Could very well.
Alan Moore's From Hell in development at FX. Never heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah, graphic novel. I don't know. Yeah. Sure. Got them. Actually, I take that back. Wait, because it was there was a movie, I believe, based off of it with Johnny Depp. I think. I want to say that's the same thing.
Was it? That was the Jack the Ripper story?
I think so. Yes.
Okay. So, hello, Google.
Yeah. Yeah, no, right. I was just about to do that, but
yeah. From Hell. Wow, yeah, that's it's a 2001 movie with Adrian Brody and Johnny Depp. You're right.
Why do I even know that? I've never seen it. I don't. Yeah. Anyway, moving right along. So there is that. Enjoy, people. I know there's some people who probably like that movie.
Right.
Gotham showrunner reveals prenatal Robin approach. Thoughts Harley, Joker plans.
Okay, what does that mean, people? I don't watch. So, I've watched a couple of episodes of Gotham. I have. Let me put this right out there. I actually have not caught up, but I watched I think the first 5 episodes in like a binge run. So I have an idea of what's going on. So with that said,
you're not really, well. Yeah, Gotham's kind of have its own. Well, I've been keeping up with it. It has its own little amusements about it. Like, the acting sometimes kind of goes for it. The plot in itself, you could kind of almost put in any other procedural.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the fact that you have these people, and there is a little slight bit of a Gotham Central in it, but not by much. But they're also adding, like, hey, you know, Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle are the same age, blah, blah, blah. So now they're just... I think there was rumors that Harley Quinn was supposed to show up on the show, or maybe people wanted it, but that's not going to happen. But sounds like they are actually going to do, I guess, assuming Robin's parents are going to be on the show, you know, setting him up.
Flying Grayson's, yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the gist of that, and possibly the Joker, but, you know, I don't know if that's going to go through.
All right.
Okay. Marvel Television narrows choices of actors for Luke Cage, Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
So who's up for it? Or did they names?
No, they did. Yeah, they did. Because there was like 2 or 3 different articles with names for each, like 4 different names for each character. So
anybody recognizable?
I don't know them. So that, well, Lance Gross and Mike Coulter apparently are people that people know.
Okay.
There's Kristen Ritter, Alexandria.
Wait, Kristen Ritter was on Breaking Bad. That was the brunette on Breaking Bad.
So that's probably the most
known one. The one that overdosed, whatchamacallit, Jesse's girlfriend?
Spoiler.
Oh, sorry. Jesus.
I haven't watched
Breaking Bad.
I haven't
watched it.
Really?
I didn't care to. So...
He'll be watched one day.
Yeah, you know.
That's for both of yous. Oh, my goodness.
But we also have Alexandria.
Come out, too. I was like, the both of yous.
Yeah, I heard that. Two yous.
Anyway.
But we also have, like, Teresa Palmer, Alexandria Daddario, and
Jessica. Alexandra Daddario from
that name sounds familiar.
from whatchamacallit. She was in like a kid's movie, the Percy Jackson movies, but she's also in True Detective, and she has a great, great adult scene in True Detective.
Another show I haven't watched.
I didn't. Fellas, full disclosure, I have not watched an entire episode of that show. I've seen it a couple of times. So
it must be a pretty good scene.
It is a very good scene. I suggest that you guys find it when we're done.
Nice. And there's also Jessica Huntress from Arrow.
Oh, her?
Yeah.
I like her. Is.
Yeah, it was not too...
She was bland.
No.
I ain't gonna say it got better, but it got a little different the last couple of times she came on, but it was just her going a little over the top. And Cleo Anthony, I think that's the last name that was actually mentioned, but they're just kind of muddling it out, putting it out there.
Hey, we got more animals.
I was about to say, shout out to Dork Geekus, who's telling me that since I've watched Gotham, that's time I'm never going to get back. So, you know, I'm saying it's not that bad. It's not.
It's just that,
formulaic, you know?
Yeah. You just kind of got to go in. If you go in there with a little different mindset, it kind of is better. And maybe with a drink. But,
yeah.
Which, you know, I guess that says something bad. But it's like sometimes the acting is real good and sometimes it's just over the top.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm kind of liking about it.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't buy Cobblepot. I just don't. I don't buy that. I don't buy him. I don't.
He's like the star of the show, isn't he?
I know. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it. He's just annoying. I mean, I know Penguin is annoying, but you know, I remember Burgess Meredith Penguin. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I don't see this guy ever being intimidating, but you know, you never know.
It's all about DeVito, man.
Right. All righty.
Uh-huh. And last I'm assuming more movie news. Kirkman's Outcast pilot announces remaining cast. I guess this is TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Bruckheimer picks up Warren Ellis's Global Frequency. Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So now to the comic book related news. Marvel Comics reveals 2 more Guardians of the Galaxy series.
Because we need more books on the stands.
Sure.
I think one is just a limited series, right, for the cartoon?
Yes, and the other one is Team Up.
Yeah, Guardians Team Up, which I'll probably be skipping.
Yeah, probably.
And I used to love Team Up books. That's kind of depressing.
Well, you know what's funny is that back in the day, there used to be only a few team books, and then they used to put in team-up books. You guys have heard me give my rationale for buying team books or preferring team books because you're getting so many characters for the same price as for one book.
Right.
So with team-ups, you get, you know, an interaction between Spidey and so-and-so who you never see him team up, you know, who you never see him together with ever.
Right.
And the same thing with Ben Grimm, the ever-loving blue-eyed thing with Marvel 2-in-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like team books a lot more.
Yeah, that was my rationale for it. But now there's so many team books, I don't think the team up, and there's so many crossovers, but the team up book just does not have the same, uniqueness anymore. You know, team ups happen all the time in these shared universes. So
is John Stewart going to become a Star Sapphire?
Apparently.
Hmm.
Because if you click through the link, they even got a picture of it, which, hey, at least they didn't kill him.
That's something I've started doing since, since last week. Like after the show, like over the weekend, I'll go back and click the link so some of the articles actually read them.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be one I'll check out. Mondo offers die-cut vinyl of Danny Elfman's Batman animated series theme. The February 2015 solicits came out from all the publishers. DC is just preparing for Convergence, and Marvel, Elektra's ending. Is that the only cancellation?
Nightcrawler might be ending.
That's a shame.
And Daredevil, Mark Waid and Chris Samnee, like they're nearing the end of their run. I think that's
Yeah, also hashtag save storm, because apparently that's on the block.
Ah.
That's not surprising.
Hey. Which we'll get to that.
No, just all those. All those. The only like X-Men solo book I'm enjoying is Cyclops. And even that's probably like will be close to ending too.
I thought that was going to be the case.
If Nightcrawler ends, I just want Todd not to be put on another book that I can actually read.
Yeah, and that was the reason why I put that in there, because like we just talked about that last week, whether Amazing X-Men and Nightcrawler needed to be existed at the same time.
They could take out. They could absolutely cancel Amazing X-Men. I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, I thought, and they're about to do a story with the Juggernaut.
Yep.
So, but at least it looks like it'll stick around through that. Dynamite's Gold Key comics coming in February.
Yeah, it's more solicit stuff.
So the Gold Key, what characters are those? Do I need to click the link to see?
Yeah, probably. Oh, this seems like it's just most of the ones you know. Well, I guess no, quote unquote, Magnus, Solar. Let's see, Turok.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those three.
Stuff that's already out. Okay.
Yeah.
They're just more solicit stuff. Okay,
gotcha. It seemed like, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. And special note, these are the final issues for Magnus and Turok, apparently.
Final?
Hmm. Yeah.
I fell behind on Magnus.
I think Dirt was reading it.
Yeah, we both were enjoying it.
Yeah.
Oh, and also in the event in the Marvel solicits, it looks like Frank Barbary is taking over Avengers World.
Right.
Because he's the solo writer. let's see. Jim Lee joins Grant Morrison on the Multiversity Mastermind.
So. Which, as discussed before the show, Multiversity is kind of not getting reviewed well.
It's not?
Wait, that's what you said.
No, I was saying Wonder Woman.
Oh, I thought you said Multiversity. I'm sorry. Because we were talking about that at the same time. But
anyway. Hopefully I wasn't. I didn't say Multiversity. But yeah, Wonder Woman at least.
Okay.
Dort Kika says the art was his main draw to Cyclops. Which I agree, because I forget his name now. Russell Dauterman was awesome on it. But I actually like Javier Garon, his art too. He's the new artist. Came from DC. Mike Martz bringing all his DC pals over.
Mm-hmm.
His editor, nice. The X-Men line. That was something I thought would be announced at New York Comic Con, was like another former Batman writer taking over X-Men, or Amazing X-Men, I mean. But it didn't happen. Secret Wars number one cover was revealed. British Comic Awards winners were announced.
Actually, just do that real quick, because I forgot to, because it might be somebody to know.
While he's looking that up, the publisher of Grand Theft Auto and Borderlands is getting into the comic book business. Good for him.
Yeah, so they're already Borderlands comics already out. And Take-Two, publisher of Rockstar Games and I forget, Gearbox, thank you. Oh, goodness. So they're probably just going to branch out with that. I don't know if the Borderlands books that are already out or fall onto that or not, but I guess so.
More titles were released or announced for the week two of DC Comics. And as I said, I'll mostly be skipping Convergence, so none of it really didn't mean too much to me. I saw something about Gen 13, but then when I looked through the list of titles, I didn't see anything with Gen 13, at least in the title. I didn't think unless I totally missed it.
Going back for a quick second, the British Comic Book Awards one, the only one that I actually know about is The Wicked and Divine, number one, got Best Comic.
Ah.
Everything else on this list.
Any of us reading that?
No, I said I was going to come back around to it.
Yeah.
So, but that's the only one that looks like of note. Everything else doesn't have I've never heard of.
All right.
If you're on the West Coast, there are now job listings up at WB Job Board for DC's new West Coast setup.
Yeah, or if you're getting moved over there.
I know that they just announced, or the person announced on their social media account, that they're the new director of publishing for comics. I think that was something Miller. It's a black guy. I need to find his Twitter so I can hit him up, try to get some press emails or something.
Indeed. But yeah, it's a pretty good list here.
Marvel announces new Deadpool prose novel.
Meh.
Hmm.
And Marvel's retro Secret Wars figures return in 2015.
That I saw today. That dropped today, right?
Yes. I saw something about it today.
I saw it yesterday.
Pictures of them. I was like, oh my God, it took me all the way back. You know, youngins like Tim wouldn't recognize these toys, but I did.
Which I think we talked about it last week I feel like somebody talked about it recently on the show about wanting to have those figures back. So,
yeah. So there's actually a couple more bits of news I wanted to discuss. One of the other titles that's ending in the February solicits is All New Invaders. I'm kind of saddened by that because actually enjoying Robinson's take on this, you know, kind of crew of invaders and expanding on Jim Hammond and adding new characters, and I'm just kind of disappointed that it's not moving forward after that.
Yeah, I am too, because I was actually enjoying it also.
That's one of those books I read the first arc and then I kind of stopped reading, and then I believe it was probably Agent 70 that was hyping it up, so I was like, I'll try it again, and now I'm kind of back on board again.
See? And now it's canceled. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So I want to do Fantastic Four like that because I like Leonard Kurtz's art, mm-hmm. and I'm like, it's a Fantastic Four, I don't care.
Which, isn't that also going away? Yeah,
that's going
away. And that's also Robinson?
That is.
He's already announced on Twitter he's got other projects coming up for Marvel. I can see him doing something Inhumans related for some reason.
Possibly, yeah. They're going to push Inhumans, so we'll see if they have a second book.
Yeah. Might be early for that, but we'll see.
Right.
Yeah, I've liked the stuff I've read of him, so that's you know, great. More work for him.
Sure. So another thing I wanted to talk about was apparently number one on the Newsarama article for what we learned from the Marvel February 2015 solicits is... are the Ultimates going to cross over and meet the Avengers? Because what they're putting on the cover of Avengers number 41 is the same illustration that Brian Hitch drew for the first issue of the Ultimates. Mm-hmm. And that leads to speculation as to how that's going to play into all the multiverse stuff and the everything, you know, ending in Secret Wars and all that stuff. So we'll see how that plays out.
So that is interesting.
You know?
Yeah.
And speaking of kind of folding characters into the Marvel Universe, the last thing I wanted to mention today, and I didn't have a chance to read the article until, you know, I was kind of skimming the article just now, is there's a character that was licensed to Marvel, or I guess created in Korea for a webcomic. And Marvel is Marvel licensing the character? They're folding it in.
Yes, they are.
It's called White Fox. The character's called White Fox. And I guess what they did was they licensed an Avengers. They licensed the Avengers characters to be used in a licensed Korean webcomic. And the creator of the webcomic created this character White Fox. And they're folding White Fox into the Marvel universe proper. So that's going to be interesting. You know, talk about now all of a sudden we've got a whole bunch of like female Asian characters. You know, we've got Silk. I'm presuming White Fox is Korean. Kind of interesting.
Oh, that's right. The Radiance and the other
that's
girl.
Right.
And the other girl.
The girl from All New Invaders.
Yeah, right, Radiance, and the other one that showed up in Fearless Defenders, which we've never seen. The Jubilee like one. Also,
the name of. They introduced her right at the end before the series got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, so it's interesting stuff.
Cool.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, I mean, I was pretty impressed to see that. I was like, wow, you know, they're actually talking about this character, this licensed Avengers thing in Korea that has, I don't know if it's six, it says it's six installments. I don't know how popular that is, but apparently it's fairly popular that, it's so popular they want to integrate this character into the Marvel Universe proper.
Yeah, must have had some effect, man.
Sure. Alrighty.
There is something from the variant cover if you want to get to that.
What do we got?
Well, let's see. Marvel reveals individual unique shrinking variants for Ant-Man number one. So apparently, I don't know. I guess this is. Yeah. If you click through the link, you can see there's a cover. You know,
right.
This is a cool looking cover, but.
What I was going to say, my understanding is that each cover is going to have a slightly different sized Ant-Man on the cover. So, like, no two copies are going to be the same, or supposedly.
Right. So there's that one, and then there's also, Harley Quinn is going to be on a bunch of February variants. And that's it, because that Jock ad is about Gotham, so, yeah.
All right. Cool. Wow, look at how many books I read this week. Holy crap. And I read more than that because I ran out of space in the sheet, people.
Sounds like you need to start us off then.
No, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like I ran into a lot of train delays this week.
Give it up for train delays.
Seriously, I had a lot of time on my hands to read. I even read more books tonight on the way back because the subway's been hectic this week. So let's see. Let me start with, what did I have the most fun reading this week? Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 17.
Oh, yeah, that did come out.
This was a lot of fun to read. There's a lot of pop culture references in it. So, you know, if you're not that up on your pop culture, and if you need to be, well, you know, time to catch up. You know, there's a lot of fun to be had in this. If you're a Mets fan, there's actually a funny take on what the what the Met logo on the front of the jersey could look like. You'll see it when you'll know when you see it. Basically, the story is wrapping up the storyline of this particular batch of supervillains who are attempting to become the newest Sinister Six. And it's Boomerang trying to get the last laugh on all of his like former villains and former colleagues as villains, and he's trying to get out of the villain game, but unfortunately things just keep trying to pull him back in. We are left with an uncertain ending, but it's, you know, that's the way it should be. We're not, you know, there's no finality here. You know, the characters are sort of put back into the toy box to be used in later stories. But it's a nice recap of the story, and you know, it's definitely told from a human point of view, the human interest point of view. Spoiler alert: If anyone watched The Sopranos and remembers how it ends, there's a reference to it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's a reference to it. But, I had a lot of fun reading this. It was nice to see, you know, it's definitely something to see the villains be, you know, written with a more character-driven, intent. You know, they're written like they're real people and with real foibles, just with, you know, sometimes villainous intent, you know, but sometimes villainous intent. And lastly, I don't know if this is fake or not. I don't think it is, because the man is writing a backup story in a Thor annual, but it seems like CM Punk wrote one of the, I guess, a big letter in the letters page in this book.
I saw a screenshot of that.
Right, as a send off. So it was pretty fun to read.
I'm scrubbing through the book. I'm gonna have to read this.
Yeah.
There's one page apparently that's you, some of you will probably see on Instagram later, but yeah. Wait, isn't this book ending?
Yeah, this is the last issue.
Okay. Oh, well, I guess I'll jump on it then. Oops.
Yeah. Well, now you can catch up and read it all at once. That's right.
Right.
So I had a lot of fun with that. What else? What did you guys read that we can put in? How about? All right, so let's talk about, because we could talk about them together. Did you guys read Avengers 38 and New Avengers 26?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you did.
Yep.
And it felt like one complete story.
Correct.
Both pretty much.
I'm so glad that I read them, you know, kind of close together so that I was like, oh, okay.
Which order did you read them in? Which did you read first?
I think I read the Avengers book first.
Yeah.
And then got to New Avengers.
I did too. And then I was going to, like, Tuesday night, I was going to post something like, you have to read it in this order. But now I was like, yeah, you don't, it doesn't really matter which order you read them in.
Right. Because even the one part that kind of ties the two together is like, well, you know, okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was that big of a tie. It was just like, okay, hey, there's an off-panel, not an off-panel thing, but just kind of a side thing. But it did, when I got to that point in Avengers, it was like, hey, wait a minute, when did this happen? And then that's what, after that, read New Avengers, like, oh, of course.
And all I kept thinking was, you know, Hickman just needs a double-sized book to tell these stories.
Yeah.
Does it seem like he doesn't have enough room in one book to tell his stories?
Yeah, like between him and I guess Bendis does it in a couple of his books.
Yeah, Uncanny and New Guardians apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what do you guys think of the developments?
Talking a little bit about it before the show. Well, not directly, but a little bit about it before the show. It was kind of like the whole thing, even though Axis and Time Runs Out are at different times, it's kind of like, why does it feel like the stuff is kind of running together, even though they're, you know, they're like months apart?
Right.
But that said, it was like Avengers was a lot of rhetoric. It was pretty good, but
What was cool about Avengers is that they, you know, they go into what, you know, sort of what happened and how they're going to try to recover, you know, from what happened, and how Sunspot and Cannonball have kind of taken the lead.
They are the Avengers.
Exactly. In kind of the rescue effort, you know?
I like that, you know, two people throwaway Avengers, Sunspot and Cannonball,
pretty much
leading the charge. Like Sunspot's like, you know, making battle plans and strategizing.
Yeah. And the reasoning for it too, because you would have never thought that would have been the case. You know, at any other time, it was like, you know what? Hey, we have this other stuff going on in two different fronts, so we got to do what we have to do to kind of bring things back together. And yeah, Sunspot and Cannonball's little interactions are always amusing. So it's been cool for at least for that. So we just have to wait and see how it unfolds. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, I don't know if I'm alone in this, but I'm very, very tired of this Black Swan character.
Yeah, see? Not really. I mean, I think she probably needs to be more with her than what they're doing with her, but I'm not
necessarily tired of her. You just need to just come out and say what the heck her deal is.
Right.
Because it's been a mystery for so long, I don't know if it's going to be worth the payoff when we finally get to it.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, this, you know, a big section of New Avengers 26 was a big long tease as to what she might actually be. Yeah. And that's 26 issues of this.
And I still don't have a clue.
Yeah, there are points in there that kind of touch upon, but it's like, yeah, all right, they're going to draw this out, which I guess that was part of why I liked New Avengers.
Right.
Because, well, the whole Illuminati stuff in general has been appealing. But, you know, the fact that things are unraveling and they're still kind of, you know, doing stuff with that side and, you know, pushing some stuff back into Avengers, blending the two have been pretty cool. So.
I do like that we finally caught up with Tony Stark in New Avengers.
Oh, man, did his ego really just blast out at the end of that?
Did it.
Man.
And I did like how there are two Avengers that we see here that you would have thought they would have been with one group of Avengers, but they're not.
Right, which as of last, yeah, because that came up last month's Avengers, I think it was. Yeah, spoilers. And now we've get to, because not only do we get to catch up with Tony Stark, we get to catch up with these two. Mm-hmm. And going back to Avengers 38, who pop up in there?
That's right. So.
And I guess that was the other thing I was going to say about Avengers. Avengers 38, I love the fact that, like, everybody's plans kind of have wrinkles to them, because you get the, even in this, they explain, like, hey, look, the Illuminati has their plans, but we got somebody in here, you know, Cap and S.H.I.E.L.D. has their plans, but...
There's so many double agents.
Yeah. And so I can only imagine, you know, with this group, if there's, it's going to be something like that, but I kind of love, it's like, hey, look, everybody's got their pieces on the table, so we got to have ours.
And next week, we catch up with the multiversal Avengers, I guess they're called.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think that's the next issue. Yeah, put that something for in the future. I wasn't crazy about the art, though.
Spoilers. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right, so...
Doug Gibbs was like, you guys have patience waiting 2+ years. I'm not sure what... I'm going to assume that's for the New Avengers stuff, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
Avengers and New Avengers. Which I've had to take back my claims of Hitman. I mean, it's still mumbo jumbo, but I'm enjoying it now because it's finally getting to the good stuff.
Yeah, the payoff is starting to happen, so...
Yeah, that's the payoff.
That is too much. That is too much. All right.
What about Amazing Spider-Man number 10?
Yes. I had a lot of fun reading this.
I did too. The only thing, yes, I know it's Spider-Verse and there's a bunch of spider characters supposed to be in it. It was almost too many.
There's always going to be too many. That's why, I was about to say, that's why it was kind of interesting to read Spider, I don't have it on my list, but Spider-Woman number 1, because yeah, what's happened... Right, what's happening in this issue of Amazing is that there's an entire page dedicated, I've never seen this before, to directing you to 3 separate crossover tie-in books. One page, like 3 or 4 panels, like, guess what? You gotta go to this book to see what happens to them. The next panel is, you gotta go to this book to see what happens to them, and the next one is the same thing. Mm. Never seen that before, but what it did serve to do was to whittle down a little bit the roster of characters that are in Amazing.
I thought that was needed, and I did enjoy how it was seamless. How, like, you know, these 3 characters are going here, these 4 are here. And go check out their stories in these spinoffs.
So that's going to play into Spider-Woman number 1, because that was the thing that was missing for me for that. So.
Well, I definitely did. So I guess you haven't read Spider-Woman number 1?
Oh, no, I have read it, but I didn't. Oh, okay. I haven't read Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh!
In fact, I haven't read any Spider-Verse, but, you know, I'll come
it's
back to
it. It's not bad. It's actually pretty good. My one critique...
Spider-Verse was cool.
Yeah. I was going to say, my one critique with this right now is that we still just don't have much to go on when it comes to these inheritors.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, I'd like to know why... You know, or at least a little bit of why, because, you know, I'm not happy with this. You know, we're 2 issues into this crossover and a bunch of tie-ins, and there's an edge of, and we've been through the whole edge of Spider-Verse thing for a couple of months now, and we just don't know why. We know who to a certain extent. We don't know what, because we don't know what they are. You know, we get a peek into maybe one of the other aspects of their powers or their existence here. No spoilers, because Roddy Cat hasn't read it yet. Mm. But like I said, we still don't have nearly enough information to make us think that these characters are anything more than just, you know, big bads that are conjured up just so that you can have a crossover. You know? Just so that you have an excuse to bring together all these Spider-Men, all these, you know, various versions of Spider-Man. So, you know, it'd be nice to actually get some sort of reason as to why we're supposed to be scared of these people. Mm. Or why they're doing what they're doing.
Yes. Except the feast.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's pretty basic, you know? But you could go to, you know, Burger King for that.
Oh, and we got the return of the person on the cover.
Yes.
The Superior Spider-Man.
Yep. No need for a spoiler bell on that. He's on the cover.
He's on the cover.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/coldslither. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/coldslither.
Hi, my name's Howie Decker. When I'm not main eventing Monday Night Raw, defending Eternia from Skeletor, or listening to the Cold Slither podcast, you can find me on the Underscoop Fire podcast, a site and show dedicated to children of the 80s. We talk about all of your favorite things from yesterday and today. So come join the conversation on iTunes, Buzzsprout, or the Stitcher Smart Radio app, or go to underscoopfire.com. And if anyone has found a Fonzie in Hoth gear action figure, if you could return that to me, I've been looking for that for a while, that'd be great. Hashtag Dick Slam.
All right.
Well, I guess since we're already there, you want to get to Spider-Woman number one?
Sure.
So the thing about this book for me, as we have just said, you probably want to read Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is pretty much what it's all about. So this is Spider-Woman's book, but this is more Silk-centric, and this is, I guess, apparently Spider-Woman's team. Although you will see, you know, Spider-Man Prime. I won't say Spider-Man Prime, but you see Spider-Man and his team.
Spider-Man Prime! Lord.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's what they call it. The Matrix
of leadership.
Yeah, really. So, and that part was the one that kind of threw me off because I haven't read Spider-Verse, so I don't necessarily know what's going on. But this kind of tells you a little bit, doesn't really tell you that much, actually. But it kind of, you have to go into it with knowledge of what's been going on so far.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, even though Jessica's in the book, this is seems to be more about Silk.
Or her interaction with Silk.
Right, which it seems to be was going to be the early arc for it anyway, you know. Stories told, but yeah, it was a good read. But like, if it wasn't for the fact that I haven't read Spider-Verse, and you know, that case, it would probably impress upon me a little bit more. Like, we do get to see a little bit of Jessica in here and her, you know, insecurities, I guess.
Right, her character, how she thinks, how she interacts with other characters. Mm-hmm. It's developed here, but I think it's a very awkward first issue. Because it is so intertwined into Spider-Verse, that I think it's not that new reader friendly.
Yeah,
you know, for a number one issue, I think it's very un-new reader. It's just not very friendly to new readers. That's my opinion.
That's the problem of launching something out of the event as it's ongoing. Launching it like at the end of the event is a little easier, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's like Mighty Avengers. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when Mighty Avengers launched, it was during Infinity. So, like, the first, like, four or whatever issues, seemed like it was just dealing with Infinity and the invasion on Earth and whatnot. And then,
I was going to bring that up.
It started telling its own stories and actually got interesting.
Right. And see, that was the part I was going to bring up, because in that case, it actually works, though. Because think about it. Everybody's off. I mean, the plot of that was cool, because, like, hey, everybody's on Earth, so there are no Avengers. So, hey, put a team together. At least that one makes sense.
Yeah.
And then kind of go into your own. But in cases like this, which, granted, I mean, the same thing could probably happen. This is kind of something I think that probably maybe not needed to be happening. So at least do an issue or two, you know, before you kind of get it blended into to the event, at least for me in this case. But you know, that's just because I'm not up on Spider-Verse is nothing that anybody else would probably have that much of an issue with, unless you hadn't read it.
Right.
How was Greg Land's art?
Now, I know you guys have a problem with it, and well, some people have problems. I don't know if you guys, but I know it's been discussed on the show before. So.
I didn't dislike him that much on Mighty Avengers like I thought I would.
Yeah. This one doesn't seem that bad. I mean, I don't see, because I know that he has that whole photo referencing thing, supposedly. Mm-hmm. This one, as far as I could tell, doesn't seem to be as much.
I wish he would go away.
The art is pretty clean.
I wish he would go away. I wish he would just go away. I think Jay Leiston does a lot of good work in this. So does Frank Darmada, the colorist, to really help the art.
And we really don't see anybody out of mask either, so that could also be another telling thing.
No, you see a few, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, but you don't see... I don't remember seeing Jessica out of mask.
You see Silk, but she...
Yeah, you see Silk.
But she doesn't look very Asian. Thank you, Greg Land.
That was the other thing. That's why when you said that earlier, I was like, wait, she's Asian?
Yes. But, you know, thank you, Greg Land, for not being able to find an Asian chick to photo reference. You know? That's funny.
But to me, the art was pretty clean, so I don't have too much problem with it.
All right. So let's see what else you guys read. Oh, wait. This is one of my surprising books of the week and a potential click of the week for me, and I see you guys also read it and liked it. Inhuman number 8.
I hadn't been read it.
Oh, Tim read it.
Tim read it.
It's been my click of the week a couple weeks here.
All right, seriously, I had a very good time reading this. It picks up pretty much where the last issue ended. There was literally a cliffhanger at the end of the last issue, and we don't really get a resolution. You know, like how this new character Noor gets out of that, but we do get the immediate aftermath of it. And the search for the Inhuman King, Black Bolt, and some developments involving Black Bolt and his brother Maximus. We have a little bit of development of the newer characters that have been introduced, like Inferno, and who is this lady with the green? What is her name? Naja, I'm not sure if she has a code name, but there was a lot of cool scenes with Maximus and Black Bolt, and I see that Tim in his notes reference what happens at the end. We won't talk about it because you haven't read it yet, Roddy, but it's pretty graphic, and there's a nice cliffhanger in this issue because it doesn't end the way you thought it might. And it definitely is leading towards more interesting stories.
I was about to say, you can go ahead and spoil it for me because I have not read Inhuman at all. So,
no, sure. But,
well, let's not spoil it for people.
But yeah,
spoil it. Yeah, exactly. There's people watching.
Yeah, but I haven't been on it. So, but does this say anything about like the Illuminati or anything?
Does it mention anything? Really. Vaguely, yeah. No, there's a small reference, I think.
I mean, yeah, Maximus makes references of how they've been off fighting incursions and the world's going to end soon.
Right. Mm. Right, that's
and
it.
Black Bolt's a king and he needs to start acting like a king.
Right.
Okay.
And Noor, I'll just say, the way Pepe Larraz draws Noor, he looks a lot like Cable. And the only reason I say that is because he drew the Deadpool versus X-Force miniseries that came out recently.
Right.
There's a lot of newer, especially with his glowing eyes and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, I see it. I definitely see it. The facial structure.
Yeah. They're both old.
Yeah, and the hair.
Death of Wolverine, the Weapon X program number 2. I'm enjoying this series, and I didn't think I would.
Nice.
It's totally new characters. Again, also making me care about these new creations of his and Death in the Weapon X program and in Human. So, yeah. So the test subjects of the Weapon X program are escaping from Paradise, the lab or facility where Wolverine died. So they're on the run, and they're trying to evade their the people seeking them out. And we learn something interesting about one of them. So,
dun, dun, dun.
Spoil anything else. Oh, and then we get a tease for potential co-star for next issue. Someone very familiar to Wolverine.
Yeah, I started reading this on my way home. I didn't get a chance to finish it, so I'll read it tomorrow. But I love the fact that, you know, LaRocca is on this, and it makes it, you know, easy to just open up and flip through. So.
Oh, and I was about to say, it took me a while. It took me like halfway through the issue to realize who the person in the extra voice in Sharp's head is.
Oh, I haven't read that part yet.
I just picked it up by reading it, and I was like, oh, okay, this is who that's supposed to be.
Okay.
All right.
That works. All right, let's see. What did Roddy Cat read?
You know what
Roddy, you read Moon Knight number 9?
I did read Moon Knight number 9. So we get to... So the psychiatrist that was introduced in number 1, and right. I can't remember whether she popped up any other
times. She popped up a couple times.
Yeah, in the midst of it. But this is pretty much a full story of her and Mark, I guess, battling. Or not. No, it's not even battling, exploring. But kind of exploring some kind of way, supposedly through hypnosis. But this is an interesting case of hypnosis that I've ever seen.
Right.
But it's almost kind of like they are sparring it a little bit, because at first you see, you know, her start talking about Mark and the Moon Knights, the various iterations of Moon Knights, but then he kind of flips the script and gets into her background, and it even goes back into was it the last book or an issue before last, where it ties back into the story of what happened there and right. Just the reasonings behind what happened there. So we get to keep a little bit more about the psychiatrist. We get to see a little bit about Mark.
Well, we finally get some motivation, for the psychiatrist. We finally find out what the heck is going on with her and why she's involved with Mark Spector.
But we don't know what exactly she wants outside of wanting to recruit him.
Right. And it's interesting to see this particular dynamic. I like this, I like this exploration of, the Moon Knight, the spirit, as being the Fist of Khonshu. I kind of like this. It's actually, I like that, the ball was handed off fairly seamlessly.
Yeah, indeed. And at the end, we don't know. Well, we don't know what's going to happen to Mark, and we don't know... Well, we do know what happens to Moon Knight.
Right.
To a point.
Right. Well, it's a to be continued, of course.
Exactly.
And it's a fairly good cliffhanger in that regard. But like I said, I'm enjoying this because it's taken what, Ellis and Shalvey set up and has just, kept developing it. And I give Brian Wood and Greg Smallwood a lot of credit. Develop this.
Isn't that also one of the books that looks like the second volume might be ending?
I haven't heard.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, because Moon Knight's always been kind of a niche character. He kind of comes and goes, when creators want to do something creative with him.
Right.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Listen, if you ever walk into like a medium-sized comic book store that only carries a limited number of copies of like smaller selling titles, what's a smaller selling title.
Yeah, and I would hope this one doesn't go, because we're already losing some pretty good books because of sales. And this one, even with the handoff, has been a good read.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coming hoping it's not on the block.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. What else did you guys read? Did anybody read any DC this week?
No.
I did, but it was the only one I read is a quick click, so we don't really have to go into it now.
What's that?
I said the only one I did read was Harley Quinn. Can bring it up later. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't read that. Why is there a reason you want to bring it up later? Or you want to?
Well, because there was really nothing spectacular about it. Okay. It's a good read. Well, you know what? Fine. It's a fun read. Harley Quinn has been a fun read. But it's kind of silly, which is the thing about it that I'm enjoying. Cover. Yeah. So here we have Power Girl, as you can see on the cover, with Harley Quinn, and they have a nice little misadventure that has nothing on the cover, but still yet.
I gotcha. All right, so let me do a quick roundup of the DC books I read, because, surprisingly, I read a lot this week. Green Lantern New Guardians, number 36. This is another chapter in the... What is this called? Godhead? Is it Godhead?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Godhead.
Okay, Godhead. It's another chapter in the Godhead crossover between the Lantern books. Highfather gets what he wants, and now we get to see where this goes from here. My notes pretty much tell what I thought about this book. This is an issue of the crossover that really is pretty central to the story. There is always, as always, there are crossover books that just are not very central to the story, and you can skip them. I suggest that you do not skip this one if you want to know where the story is going, where this Godhead story is going. This is not one to miss. Batman and Robin, number 36. This is a dark horse click of the week candidate for me. This was a ton of fun. This is Batman in that crazy armor invading Apocalypse, and the Robins and Cyborg that ended up kind of trying to follow him, all on Apocalypse, kicking some serious butt and just going to town against Parademons and Calibac, and it's just a lot of action. If you're not, if you're interested in just seeing something that has a lot of cool action scenes and fight scenes in it, this is the book you want to read this week.
This podcast is being sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Come visit us at ColdSlitherPodcast.com and then click on the link through our front page to MyComicShop.com. Shop there and keep the podcast going free. And you'll get new releases of comic books delivered right to your door. MyComicShop.com through ColdSlitherPodcast.com. Do it today.
Justice League number 36, this Amazo virus plague is going on in this issue. Jason Fabok is doing the art on this. The art is very nice. The story is pretty routine. If you've ever read or watched anything that involves a plague and a patient zero, who kind of starts it all off, you kind of have an idea what the framework of the story is. Obviously, there's going to be some variation on a common theme, but you kind of get what the formula is, and this issue kind of follows that formula, or at least those the story beats that you expect are kind of hit in this book. Whether or not it'll sell you on getting the next issue, listen, if you're invested in the story, you'll pick up the next issue. But, I think the biggest selling point is the Fabok art. And speaking of the Fabok art, Jason Fabok is also doing the art this week on this week's Batman Eternal, number 33.
Oh.
And Batman Eternal, we complain, or at least I complain, about how it's just too hard to read this, it's too hard to keep up. But I've always said, as a rule, ever since Batman Eternal has been going on, if Jason Fabok is doing the art, it's an issue that is relatively important to the story. So you need to pick it up and read it because it'll develop what's going on. It'll get you up to speed and develop the story. And it's you know, they put him on the stories that will develop the ongoing story more so than just have like a quick filler. So, you know, the second I saw that it was Fabok on art in this, it was definitely it definitely caught my attention and made me you know, read this a lot more carefully. This issue and the recent developments in Batman Eternal kind of ratchet up the action and the involvement of I don't know if you guys know, but Alfred has a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she is she becomes more and more involved. She has become more and more involved as the Eternal story has developed, and she has a pretty big role in this issue. And we'll see how that plays out over the course of the next few issues. Eternal has gotten a little bit better recently. Now that we've kind of gone back to the real world and gotten away from Deacon. Not Deacon Frost.
Blackfire or something?
Yeah, Deacon Blackfire. Deacon Blackfire, that's right. That's right. And that is Agent underscore 70's DC Roundup this week.
Yeah.
Any other books that we guys that we want to talk about, or are we going to get to Rapid Fire?
Actually, I think I do have one.
Wow, we never even mentioned Axis.
Yeah.
No one wants to talk about Axis.
Nothing to talk about.
Oh my god, stuff, no one likes this.
Stuff's happening and
yeah,
people are inverted and
yeah, things are going on. So
It's so bad. I mean, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for academic purposes, if it wasn't for the review purposes and they're talking about it on the show, I don't know if I'd pick, you know, I don't know if I'd get this book.
I mean, I probably would because it's Avengers-centric, but even with that, I don't know.
Seriously, if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, the completist in me is just, you know, dying. Like, you get the first two issues, you need to get the rest, you know? But if, you know, like, if I was in, you know, were I in high school right now and my funds were much more limited and I had to make real decisions about collecting and like paring down and not picking up anything further because I wasn't happy with it, I probably would stop picking up Axis.
You know, I know I would.
Perfectly honest. You know, I mean,
I check out the last issue and that's about it.
You know, I mean, Axis right now, it's on my pull list. It's good. It's waiting for me right now to pick up tomorrow at, you know, at my comic book store. But, you know, if it had come down to it and I had to take something off my pull list, this would be right near the top.
Hmm.
Kind of sad.
Yeah, kind of telling also, but
yep.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right. So what do you got, Roddy?
Actually, let me pull it up while I'm here. I guess Black Widow number 12.
I read this. It's not on my list because I couldn't fit it. What'd you think?
I mean, not really much happens with it. Well, I'll take it back. Not really much happens with it except for the fact that Black Widow's been exposed.
Right. I was about to say, doesn't it feel like this is coming straight out of Winter Soldier, the movie?
Yeah, kind of. So basically, you know, the crux of Natasha's book has been her doing, you know, a little dirt on the side for S.H.I.E.L.D. and for other people. And now we get to the point where, thanks to the proliferation of cell phones and whatnot, hey, it's kind of out there. It's kind of out there for people to see. So now that that's out in the light, of course the news has to go out there and
talk about it,
rabble about it. Yeah, so that's why we have the Anderson Cooper guest star, I guess you want to say. Yeah. That is not the whole of this issue. The other part of this issue is like she doesn't know anything about it because she's on a mission. Mm-hmm. And she really didn't find out until later, but everybody else around her does, you know. So how that plays into what goes further, I guess we'll tell the tale. But we do get a pretty cool, you know, as far as her side is concerned, a pretty cool, you know, her on a mission with apparently the Howling Commandos.
Right.
Or the current iteration of the Howling Commandos, and her just having an inner monologue about the day and, you know, and them and whatnot, which was pretty cool.
All right.
So, and then, of course, at the end, we get a a side character has has something happen. Yeah.
Lots of cliffhangers this month, right? This week.
Yeah.
Lots of cliffhangers this week.
And that one kind of slightly bums me out, because if it plays out like I think it does, which I guess what I would hope to happen will still end up happening, but I kind of started liking that character not say too much more, but I kind of started liking that character. So I kind of wanted to see more what they were going to get up to.
Right.
But yeah, like, that was a pretty good read.
Interesting. Oh, you know what? I forgot. I left a book out of my DC roundup.
Mm.
And honestly, guys, if you wanted to pick up something that was actually a pretty interesting DC read, try... this is Batman Superman number... What number is this?
16.
It's written by Greg Pak. The art is by someone who I don't know, but it's actually pretty good. Syaf? His last name is Syaf?
Adrian Syaf?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of different DC stuff.
It's actually pretty good. I was impressed.
Let me flip through it while you're talking about it.
So, without talking too much about the story or spoiling too much of it, the title on the book cover is called The Nemesis Objective, right? And the crux of the story is someone is kind of picking on anyone Superman-related and going after them and trying to kill them. And Batman, in his, you know, infinite wisdom, deduces that this isn't one of Superman's normal villains, but it may be that Superman has finally acquired a member of his rogues gallery who is much more like the Joker than anyone else he's ever fought. He basically gets his own Joker, that's the premise that the story is operating under.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was actually pretty interesting, and it was shows, you know, there's a nicely done page that kind of recounts how the Joker's really impacted Batman's life. When you flip through, you'll see what I mean.
Yeah, I'm still flipping.
Right, and like I said, this issue is also, you know, also ends on a cliffhanger. You know, there's lots of cliffhangers in the books this week.
Huh. Nice little one-page spread.
Right, you see what I'm talking about, right?
For the Joker portion.
That's right. Exactly. That's actually pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, this was a nice, pleasant surprise. I'm glad that I was just going through my my list of books that I actually did read that didn't make it onto my sheet.
Oh, I like the panel on the page after that was interesting.
Yep.
Also.
Huh. Yeah, that does look nice.
There you go. So, you know, give it a read. I was pleasantly surprised by this issue. And it's a nice, you know, it's a nice jumping on point. I think this, you know, this book, this issue, this particular issue is pretty fairly, is pretty new reader friendly.
I did not notice why it seemed like this week was so large in volume. It's, I guess, because of the holiday coming up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because I was like going through all the DC stuff and all the Marvel stuff. I'm like, man, all the stuff I want to try to read, I can't get to it all.
You need to commute on a subway that's got a lot of delays.
You just say, I'm not reading this. I'm not reading this.
Yeah. Both of you guys drive to work?
I was going to say, being in the South, we kind of don't have that luxury. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Both of you guys drive to work, right? So you don't have that, like, oh, I'm sitting on the train. I better, you know, I got a chance to read.
Mm. Yep.
People don't try to look and see what you're reading?
Yeah, they're probably looking right over my shoulder, and they're looking at me like, who is this guy in the business suit with his sunglasses on reading comics, right?
I can say, mostly, is everyone just minding their own business?
Yeah.
They're minding their own business, but you know, it's always funny. Like when I put my hand down, and they see, they, you know, like I always get a look when they see that I'm reading comics.
Yeah, I've been places and, you know, had some time to read some stuff, and I got my tablet, and I'm doing that, and I get those looks also.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, eh, I don't care.
Exactly. And I'm just like, yeah, screw you, you know? But I also get the looks of people who are just like, oh, you know, look at what he's reading, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. What else do we have here? Are we in rapid fire or?
Yes.
All right, because we got so much. Well, you know, you still got stuff to talk about?
No. We are. I don't even know what else I have left.
Guardians of the Galaxy 21.
Oh, there we go. I read that.
Valerio City did the art, which is nice. It's, I guess, the start of the symbiote.
Venom.
Symbiote storyline where, I guess, they're going to venture to the planet where the Venom symbiote came from.
It's about time somebody did this story.
Yeah, I remember them saying a while ago, I think you and I might have started with, and Slot was saying something about Silver Surfer. It was like, you know what, hey, the cosmic universal side of Marvel, you know, is big enough to where we should kind of go into it or something like that. So, and I think this was even brought up at that time. So I am also glad that they're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Think about how long the symbiote has been around since the first sequel. And this is the first time they're really actually delving into where the symbiote comes from.
Yeah. Heck, we even get another bit of the symbiote in Avengers, actually, now that I think about it, to a much lesser degree. Or I should say, Superior Iron Man, to be more specific.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it was
all right. I was like, I kind of like the Flash going around with the whole Darth with the Sith robe.
that's right. I did notice that, the Sith robe. That's funny. Let's see. Anyone read Daredevil number 10?
Nah.
No.
Mm-mm.
It's the ending to this Kilgrave, the Children of Zebediah Kilgrave story, the Purple Children story reaches its ending. Nothing too crazy here. I'm wondering what Wade is going to do to wrap up his run on Daredevil. It's been a pretty good run. It's spanned a couple of different volumes. You know, he's had a couple of number one issues under his belt. And, you know, now that we sort of know that his run's coming to an end, I wonder if he, you know, kind of wrapped this story nice and neat and is going to try to finish with a bang. Fantastic Four number 13, anybody? Bueller?
Nope.
All right. Yeah, exactly. Back in blue, we do get the reappearance of the blue Fantastic Four costumes in this issue. Things are slowly starting to come together in terms of, you know, reassembling the team. The Fantastic Four is being rebuilt. Some bad stuff is happening to Camp Hammond. And, you know, there's stuff going on with the Richards children. But one of the more important things that's coming into this book is the reappearance, reemergence, and I've talked about it before, and there's obvious character appearances now of Heroes Reborn characters. The Heroes Reborn, the Franklin, Richards verse, where, you know, there's different versions of all the Marvel heroes that were in that were transported over during Onslaught. So, you know, it's off-putting. Let me put it this way: it's off-putting because that's kind of a dark period in our collecting lives, comic book reading lives. So I don't know if I'm happy to see that reemerge. I'm wondering if this isn't just a way to kind of reintroduce these versions of the character so that it's not such a big shock when they reappear in Secret War. Who knows?
Mm. So, because if I remember correctly, that's kind of the first issue of Fantastic Four kind of alluded to that.
Yeah.
Did it not? Yeah.
It did. And it's slowly been referenced, and they had the Heroes Reborn Hawkeye appear, and now we've got the Heroes Reborn, Thor and Iron Man, and like I said, every time I see these characters, these iterations of the character, I kind of get the heebie-jeebies.
Do we actually see the Heroes Reborn
characters? Yes. Yes, we do. I've piqued Tim's interest.
I said I like the art, so I should at least read it for that.
That's funny.
So I'm going to assume that everything you just said has something to do with explaining why they're back in blue.
Well, they're back in blue because Sue Richards is like, enough with this red. That's pretty much what happened.
So Johnny Storm still doesn't have
no powers. No powers. Punisher number 12. Seriously, Nathan Edmondson should just be writing every gun-toting Marvel character. You know, he does it very well. I've been on and off the Punisher story for a while. I'm liking this book right now. It makes me, honestly, I had this revelation on my way home during my hour and a half long commute home because of train delays. I actually want to go back and fill in some of my gaps in my Punisher collection because I've liked where this has gone. You know, I think I have the first like 5 issues and then I stopped, and I dropped the book, but I've been reading it obviously for academic purposes, but now I want to go back and get them because, it's actually pretty good.
Tom Punisher?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, it's and good.
It got cut from your list, right?
So I'm gonna add Fantastic Four. Yeah, the stuff had to go.
Yeah, I got you. All right, let's see. Did I cover? See, this is the. I was about to say, this is the byproduct of a big, big reading week and lots of time on my hands, trying not to go crazy on the subway. Storm number 5. You read Storm number 5? You mentioned it?
I did.
So what do you think? I wasn't a big fan of this story. I thought it was kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The way this kind of ended up, this whole... I guess they had to have something kind of to transition from the Wolverine's, the Wolverine morning issue. Mm-hmm. So this is still kind of coming from that because you see Yukio and Storm's kind of doing something for her in Wolverine's place. So we kind of get where that goes, which I thought was going to be the end of it, but maybe not given this to be continued. But we don't know if that's going to be actually the case or they're going to just bring it up. At some other point. But yeah, the story in itself is like, all right. Well, sure. It was all right. It feels like more of a filler to me than anything actually worth anything. Like that last one with Forge or the one before the last one with Forge was a little bit better than.
Oh, this, absolutely. Than because that was like a real character study.
Right.
That one was really, was about the character. This one was just, she's mourning the death of Wolverine, but this is just a weird way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
it also kind of makes sense also because, even with like the death of Wolverine stuff, but I'm sure some of that is like, this is some stuff he was doing or, how he affected other people's lives, but this is just having to be one of those. Oh, this is what he was doing. I didn't know anything. I guess there was so much I didn't know or some stuff I didn't know about him, even though I knew him well.
Right.
Yeah.
One thing I wish I had a chance to read this week was Deadpool number 37 because I enjoyed the last issue so much. I'm going to try to read that this week because that's the next issue in the Axis crossover for Deadpool where... Deadpool's been inverted. Mm-hmm. So
how does that work anyway?
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, now he's a pacifist.
Huh. Okay. So,
he's been inverted and, it looks good. It just looks like a fun read. I didn't have a chance to pick it up. So I'm hoping that I'll be in my back issue list for next week.
Mark Brooks cover, which I'm loving.
What's that?
Is that Mark Brooks cover?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Mark Brooks, yes, absolutely. He's, the last two covers have been really good. Let's see. Anything else that I read? I think that's pretty much tapped everything for me. Oh, yeah, I did a rapid review for a whole bunch of things. Yeah, I'm good.
Tim, you got something?
No, I'm done.
All right, so we did. So we need clicks of the week.
Clicks of the week.
Yeah.
Mine is gonna be Avengers number 38.
Nice.
Just between that and Inhuman, number 8.
Nice. I think I'm gonna go with Inhuman number 8. I enjoyed Inhuman number 8 a lot. I had a lot of fun reading that. You know, it's great to see Black Bolt kind of reassert himself in this book. It is Inhuman after all. You know, obviously he had a role to play in New Avengers, and he probably still will have a role to play in New Avengers. But for now, I'm happy to see him, you know, kind of reestablished within the Inhuman universe.
Okay. Well, while I'm sitting here trying to mull over what I'm going to do, I'm going to assume what Dirt's is. I don't know. So.
What My Little Pony book is out there.
I know, right?
That's right.
Man, I wish there was had been one in there. But
that's absolutely right. I'm going to pull up the comic list now and see.
I was about to say, well, Multiversity. No, I'm just kidding. That's not definitely because I don't think anybody's really reading that. I'm going to go ahead and assume that it's going to be this one. Bob's Burgers number 4. Because he actually has been saying he likes that book. But
there you go. There you go, Dirt. There's your click of the week for this week.
What is it?
Bob's Burgers number 4.
Bob's Burgers. Huh.
There you go.
But that being said, I don't know. This is a weird week for me. You know what? One, I'm going to just say, hey, Storm number 5. Not Storm number 5 because, I mean, it is a good book still, even though we, you know, it was kind of blah this week. Mm-hmm. And that book needs to stick around. So please, how about hashtag save Storm?
All right.
But that said, you know what? Moon Knight number 9.
Nice.
We'll go with that one.
Nice. That was an interesting read. It really was.
Yeah. Yeah, like because that was we get to see some stuff that we hadn't seen before, and it gets a little more insight into a couple of things. So it was right. It was a good read just for that.
And by the way, My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic hit issue number 25 this week.
Oh, was it? I don't see it in the thing.
Yep. Yep. It is on the comic list. Is up to issue number 25.
Nice.
You know. My Little Pony can get to issue 25. We can't get, like, She-Hulk past number 12. Come on, people.
I know, right?
Jeez.
Like, I wanted to give a nod to New Avengers for the last couple of pages, but it was like, you know, that kind of stands on its own. It the ego did not need my help.
Oh, that's good. That is good.
So, any back issues from anybody?
No, let me see. Let's see if there's anything from last week that I read. Let me see. Oh, I did get around to reading All New Captain America number 1. Even though we talked about it at length last week and I finally got around to reading it. So now I understand why everyone was talking about Zemo and whether or not the mask was glued to his head or not.
Right.
You know, it's weird that this issue is not related to Axis, but the Captain America and the Mighty Avengers one is.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I think that threw me off a little bit. I'm still not 100% sure how much practice Sam Wilson has had with the shield. Obviously, they talk about it,
right.
And it's no spoiler now that it's a week later, that the new Nomad, Ian, the Cap's son from Dimension Z is the new Nomad and Falcon Cap's partner. And he actually kind of schools him on how to use the shield as a throwing weapon. And I'm thinking to myself, Captain America, I mean, granted this is like older continuity, but Captain America was practicing with that shield for years so that he could get the stupid thing to bounce 20 times, hit people off the head, and bounce back into his hands.
Right.
You can't expect, you know, I'm like, really? You know, you're not going to expect Sam Wilson to figure that one out right away. But yeah. Nomad shouldn't be able to do it like that himself.
Well, and but just like was brought up in the book, he, you know, Nomad has had actually years with the
right.
with the shield. So yeah, it would stand a reason why. As a matter of fact, I think we even talked about all of that and this last week was mm-hmm. like. Because Nomad even brings it up, it's like, why wasn't I picked? He was like, he was kind of surprised he wasn't picked,
mm-hmm.
you know, to do it, which I assume maybe it's going to pick back up at some point. We don't
right.
know. But, yeah, like you said, yeah, he didn't have much time with S.H.I.E.L.D., and, you know, which I guess that's a good and a bad thing because you kind of wondered going into it. It's like, wait a minute, he doesn't have Super Soldier. He doesn't really have that much practice with the S.H.I.E.L.D., even though he has his own particular traits. And not saying that anybody else who's had the mantle didn't.
Right.
You know, have their own things going on.
Right. But, well, I mean, I was always under the impression that because Cap had the serum and he was like the peak human strength, that's why he was so good at throwing the shield, because he had that ability to, you know, heave this kind of heavy disc of metal and vibranium through yeah. the air with enough force to knock people out, you know?
Yeah. No, he just had a lot of practice. In addition to that, to also.
Right. You know, I'm not saying that Falcon's a weakling. You know, it does right. look like he works out, but
now he's just a normal dude that exactly. works out and he's got wings.
Exactly, exactly.
That's all. You know, like everybody does.
Yeah. Nobody read Uncanny number 28. I just saw on the list.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
I
forgot to mention it this week. I won't even talk about it. Nothing happens.
All right, let's start wrapping up.
Yes.
Make sure to follow us on our individual Twitter accounts, at TimDOGG98 and at TheClickNation. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at NewsNerdsNeed. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. We want to thank you all for tuning in live tonight and those listening or watching on the replay. We'll be taking next week off for Thanksgiving.
That's right. Have a happy Thanksgiving, people.
Indeed.
But we will be back the following week to review next week's and the following week's books.
Sounds good.
With that, we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Great! What's on your mind?